This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. BOGO is back for 1 week only. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, you need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm today at EdenPureDeals.com with code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. It is the last hour for us on this Wednesday, and we have a lot to get to. Breaking news, the Federal Reserve raises key rate by half point. They've raised the rates by half a percentage point, which is the biggest hike in two decades to fight inflation. We're going to talk about that at 2:30. I have a couple of questions for people in regards to Biden's booming economy. And I'm sure since all of you are experiencing it, you'll be able to weigh in. But before we get to that, I have a few other things on my list that I would like to check off. I want to start with this story about Elon Musk and Twitter, because before there was Roe v. Wade, before there was, and after there was net neutrality, somewhere in the middle, I think it was after global warming.
Everybody gather around. We're going to tell the story of the before time again.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to keep all of these disasters in check. But one of those disasters was Elon Musk taking over Twitter. At one point, I was told that democracy was hanging by a thread because of that. And then it shifted to because of whatever Elizabeth Warren is yelling about now with her backup drummers behind her. But some people haven't given up on this. You know, some people aren't that easily distracted. Some people can walk and chew gum at the same time, and they're going to take on all these different issues at once. And so there's a group that are a group of 26 activist organizations that signed a letter to companies, according to the Daily Mail. Signed a letter to companies who advertise on Twitter, warning them to reconsider if Elon Musk makes changes. And it's very, you know, Godfather-esque. You may want to reconsider your support of Twitter, or something bad might happen. It's almost like Andrew Cuomo is writing this letter. And so
Legoland.
Musk's sin, of course, is that he's going to let a lot of different opinions exist on this social media free speech platform. So naturally, it cannot stand. A Twitter with free speech cannot survive. And so Elon Musk saw this, and he saw this letter. And I've made it very clear on this show. I don't have a lot of things that I cannot be moved on, but one thing I cannot be moved on is I am anti-open letter. I hate these letters. They're sanctimonious, they're stupid, and they're a bullying tactic. And they're a lame bullying tactic. Oh, I'm writing you a letter to tell you how upset I am. Big whoop. And I think part of the downfall of our civilization is the fact that these companies listen to these letters. That they go, oh, did you see in your inbox today? We got an open letter from 3,000 people who don't like the name of our salsa. So we have to change the name of our salsa. That stuff drives me nuts. So now there's a letter that's going around, and everyone's taking out their feathered pens and they're signing on to it. And so Elon Musk was like, who's on board with this letter? Like, who are these companies? So I just wanted to give you a quick heads up on some of the organizations that are involved. I actually have a list here of the 26. Here are the ones that stuck out to me. Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation. You might know them for some of their real estate purchases in Topanga County or Canyon. GLAAD is one of them. Media Matters for America. Women's March is one of them. And here's an interesting fact. George Soros, the founder and chair of Open Society Foundation, is pictured in June 2004. Soros, now 91, heads a foundation that since 1979 has donated more than $12 billion to progressive causes. There's also there's stuff in here that involves, it says Musk himself responded to the letter. I'm writing a letter to Elon. He responded to the letter asking who funded them, the answer being an assortment of dark money groups like George Soros' Open Society Foundation and NGOs founded by former Clinton and Obama administration staffers. In other words, this was a letter straight from the swamp. It was still slobbery and wet from the swamp when it emerged. Wealthy Democrat donors, I wonder if they were able to get in the Ed Buck donation before things went south for him, and their family foundations, labor unions, naturally, and the governments of European nations. Wonderful. So that's weird. The governments of European nations are bullying advertisers if they don't get off Twitter, because Elon Musk is promoting free speech. I wonder why the governments of European nations don't want Americans to have free speech on Twitter. That's weird. I don't know. I'm not able to figure that one out. But since we're on this topic, it gets even better. I reported last week, I had a lot of different guests on about this because I found it very amusing, that once Elon Musk bought Twitter, in a strange, really coincidental timing of things, the DHS decided, you know, Mayorkas doesn't have enough on his plate. He decided he was going to start a disinformation governance board, which everyone on Twitter knew what that meant. It's the Ministry of Truth. You know, most of us had to read 1984 in middle school or high school, so we know what we're dealing with. And heading up this organization was none other than Nina Jankowicz. Now, Nina has a history of tweeting about Hillary Clinton. I'm with her, you know, promoting Russian hoax propaganda. So, of course, she is more than qualified to tell us what we are allowed to tweet about, because she has promoted fake news herself. So why shouldn't she be the boss of other people's fake news? But it gets even better than that, because Nina Jankowicz is a TikToker. She's not just, you know, her social media prowess, her expertise isn't just limited to Twitter. She's also on TikTok. And I guess on TikTok, she's very creative. And she actually made a TikTok singing about disinformation to the tune of Mary Poppins. Jared, could I have cut 12, please?
Information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. When Rudy Giuliani shared that intel from Ukraine, or when TikTok influencers say COVID can cause pain, they're laundering disinfo and we really should take note and not support their lies with our wallet, voice, or vote.
All right, I have a few things to say. One is that, why doesn't she sing about herself laundering disinformation about Donald Trump? Why is she picking on Rudy? No one has laundered more disinformation than you, Nina. And secondly, I'm always fair. I'm always a straight shooter. She's got a pretty good voice. She sounds very Julie Andrews-esque. I'm not going to take that away from her.
She's what I call a wannaglee. She's a wannaglee.
I love that song. Hum-de-li-li-lum-de-li, hum-de-li-li-lum-de-li. That's a great dancing song, by the way. If you ever want to, you know, try a little Irish step dancing and you need a beat, that's a great beat for it.
I can't. I hold grudges, so therefore I can't do Irish dancing.
Oh, right.
Unlike Joe Biden.
You're like the Irish who you think you're more Irish than the Irish. All right. Well, John Kennedy saw this, Senator Kennedy, and he decided to ask Mayorkas, who's in charge of this disinformation governance of setting this up, if he had seen these precocious TikToks. This is cut 11.
When the department picked her, was the department aware of her TikTok videos?
They're
really quite precocious.
I was not aware of those videos.
Supercalifragilistic. Well, here's the thing, Mayorkas. I understand why you weren't aware. You have a lot on your plate. You're still working on that Haitian migrants being whipped at the border investigation, which is, how many months has it been? Has it been over a year? We told we were going to get that in a couple of weeks. Yeah, so he has no idea. I mean, it almost tracks more that she would have these videos out there, because then it's really Black Mirror, you know, where she is. It's almost like the Hunger Games. I can picture her dressed up like one of those characters in the Hunger Games and just singing to us all until we go into this trance and we start saying things like, Joe Biden is the unifier in chief. She's going to just be handing out cups of Kool-Aid.
My favorite part about that whole thing was how that comment just went right over Mayorkas's head. He didn't even get the brilliance of John Kennedy in that moment.
Even for the left, she seems like a bit much to be the head of the Disinformation Governance Board. But who am I to say? I'm just one of those free speechers. One of those ultra-MAGA lunatics. 844-500-4242. Yeah, can I hear a little bit more of it, please? I love the beat.
So. Information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious.
Wait, so are you a huckster when you were promoting disinformation on an outlet known as Twitter? Does that make you... Well, why don't you sing about yourself? You know, that's what they say, Jared, about writers and stuff, is that you should write what you know. So you should sing about what you know. And she really does know about disinformation. Now, speaking of that, when we get back, we'll take your calls and we'll also talk about the CDC, because they want in on this Black Mirror world we're living in, on this Orwellian dystopia. They actually tracked millions of phones to see if Americans followed COVID lockdown orders. Not as weird as the robot dog I saw in China that was barking through the streets, but we're getting there. I think in a couple months, we will be at that level. If Joe Biden keeps it up at this pace, I have no doubt that we will get there. 844-500-4242. I see everyone on the lines. We're going to get right back to your calls in the next break. My friends at Eden Pure have done it again. BOGO is back for 1 week only. What are you waiting for? Jared, what are people waiting for?
I don't know. I don't know what they're waiting for. We've talked about how great the Thunderstorm air purifier is because it actually purifies the air. You just plug it in, you turn it on, and it starts ionizing the air, creates a super oxygen. And that can eliminate any odors. It can eliminate allergens, pollutants, nasty stuff you don't want to breathe. And BOGO is the way to do it. You get one for the house, you get one for the car. That's what I do.
And the one in your house, you keep down the basement because you have some valuables down there.
I do. I have my modest comic book collection down in the basement. So I got to make sure that there's not any damp air and things like that. So you got to keep things moving, got to keep things dry and pure.
You know what's a really good gift for May the 4th be with you? An Eden Pure thunderstorm.
Absolutely.
Happy 4th, by the way, to all until the Star Trekkies out there. Is that what they're called?
No, they're the Star Warsies.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Until they get me a working lightsaber, I have to settle for the Thunderstorm air purifier.
Do what Jared did, whether you
like... Elon, I want a lightsaber. You can do it.
Whether you watch Star Wars or not, get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm today at EdenPureDeals.com with code GRACE. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE. It's great for your kitchen if you cook things and you want to get rid of the smell. It's great for your car if you have allergies, and it's great for your basement to get rid of that musty odor. That's EdenPureDeals.com with code GRACE. We will be right back.
The Senate.
We'll be right back with news on Joe Biden's booming economy. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Star Wars goes near and far war. My seventh winner up here, Star Wars.
Yeah, it's May 4th. May the 4th be with you. That's how it goes, right? To all the Trekkies, Star Wars. What do you call them, the Warsies?
The Warsies, yes. That's what they like to be called.
Oh, God.
This is the way, Grace.
Yeah, I'm not going to, you know what, I'm not going to rain on their parade today. Today is your day, so use it however you like. By the way, Amber Heard is now testifying about her toxic marriage to Johnny Depp, how he's back in the building, and I was just talking to him about this. People are fascinated by it. In social media, it's like 100-0 on his side. People love him right now, and they do not like her. I guess she just fired her whole PR team.
Yes, she is representing herself also, apparently. She's also a lawyer, but they're not kidding.
No.
They both have a three-piece suit with a blue shirt on. So remember when they said she was dressing like him?
Yeah, she's but what kind that. Of tactic is that? Really, though.
A winning one.
Oh, they like the person who I'm against in court more than me, so I'll start dressing like him and maybe they'll confuse the two of us. How does that make any sense? I'm still focused on the revenge poop.
Does any of this make any sense?
I mentioned that this weekend. I was in a wedding and we were all getting our hair done. And one of the guys who was doing the hair, I said to one of the bridesmaids, I said, well, you read about the revenge poop, right? And the hairdresser almost dropped all of his tools. He was like, come again? What are you talking about?
Poop.
People are following this. I am not, but my neighbor is. People are obsessed with this. And everyone on social media is team Johnny Depp from what I've seen. So it makes sense that she just fired her PR team. That one does track. Speaking of celebrities, actually, you know what? Let's go to the calls and then we'll go to Dave Chappelle. Brian, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Been waiting a while. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, you just got the report about the interest rates went up.
Yes.
10%. That'll probably squash the real estate market a little bit. It's up over probably going to be 5.5. But I was talking to an investor one time. Actually, the kid worked out of Wall Street from his home. And he's saying that, you know, all this stuff going on about the Supreme Court and the economy and all the social media, the situation in Ukraine, I think in the next 4 or 5 days, something horrible is going to happen. You know, I have some friends in our town that are from Ukraine. And I think if Putin doesn't get his way and he's not winning, he could do something really stupid. But he did tell me that if a nuke went off, he said the stock market has been set up so it'll automatically stop.
Yeah, I hope that's not the case. I have been following it to a degree. I mean, it's insane to see how this is happening and how off a lot of intelligence was about how long Ukraine would be able to hold out and what Putin would do. I don't think anyone really knows what he's going to do. But yeah, I've been watching this as well. And as far as the economy goes, I mean, it's really interesting to see how the polls are not shifting towards Biden. He can blame it on Putin. He can blame it on the meat conglomerates. He can blame it on the oil oligarchs. He can blame it on ultra MAGA Trump voters. He can blame it on whoever he wants, but it's sticking to him. He is not Teflon. It is sticking to him like ice cream on your face on a hot summer day. Chocolate chip. So let's play. This is from CBS. They're reporting on inflation. This is cut 10. CBS.
Expected to raise short-term interest rates this afternoon to fight the highest inflation in 40 years. You've all felt it. A recent CBS News poll found that 66% of Americans say inflation is difficult or it's a hardship. The chief investment strategist at Bank of America warned just last month that the inflation shock is worsening, the rate shock is just beginning, and a recession could be coming. Oh, no.
Yeah, we keep hearing about that. Joe Biden said he's not worried about it, but I tend to get the sense, based off his general, you know, way, that he's not really worried about anything. You know that expression, ignorance is bliss? I think Joe Biden's feeling very blissful.
He's got plenty of bliss.
Yeah, there's no shortage of bliss. There's shortage of everything else. Definitely a shortage of chips, but there's no shortage of blitz. Bliss. And so Blinken, though, was talking about this, and he actually had to admit that inflation hit before Russia invaded Ukraine. This is Tony Blinken. What does Biden like to call him? His
foreign
position.
Minister, wasn't
foreign
it?
Minister. Yes, that's his position that we like to refer to him as. So the foreign minister, Anthony Blinken, cut 18.
Now, with the Russian government's brutal war of aggression on Ukraine, many of these pre-existing problems, these pre-existing conditions have been made worse, raising the price of essential commodities throughout the Americas, from fertilizer to wheat, petroleum, cutting off key export markets for many industries in the Americas and forcing households across the region to make very wrenching choices as the cost of living skyrockets. So all of this is very much felt and is very much present.
Yeah, but you know what's going to fix it? I want to tell Tony this because I don't want him to turn on his sad Spotify. I want to keep him on the happy Spotify. What's going to fix this is when Joe Biden cancels trillions of dollars worth of student loan debt, because that's baked in. And if he passes the $1 trillion Build Back Better plan, then that's an investment in the future and it comes at zero cost. So if we keep doing these things that are creating the problem, we ipso facto, ergo, will also fix the problem. And I think that's kind of cool. Speaking of fixing problems, Randy Weingarten, who some people think was responsible for a lot of the school closures, well, she's back to tell you about how bad the school closures were. We'll get to that, and we'll talk about the CDC tracking millions of phones when we return.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. A massive issue over the last few years were school closures. And, you know, my guest earlier, Jennifer Oliver O'Connell, said that one of the silver linings of the pandemic was that people started to pay attention. And I wholeheartedly agree with that sentiment because people were forced to. And people's kids were home and they were seeing what their kids were learning. They were seeing how their kids were suffering from not being in school. And they were seeing how unmoved people like Randy Weingarten were from their struggle, from their pain. You know, she didn't really flinch. She put her feet in the sand and she held in there and she wanted to keep schools closed. There was tons of talk about these teachers' unions colluding with the CDC to come up with language that they could push as far as keeping schools closed and the reasoning behind it. And now she's out there. And we talk about this a lot. We say, you know, it's amazing how the Democrats will go from pushing one talking point, pushing it. And then when they lose that talking point, when it's no longer working for them, they'll turn around and say, well, we weren't the ones who were pushing it. It was Republicans. It was Republicans' fault. And I had said that about masks. I said, they're so mad at Ron DeSantis that he said it should be up to the parents to decide about masking. And I said, give it 2 weeks. And then they'll start saying, well, we were the ones who wanted the mask lifted. Now we're seeing this with Randy Weingarten. She's talking about how the kids are in crisis as if she's not a major part of what caused this mental health crisis. She is one of the bad actors in this scenario. And forget saying she's sorry. She's the hero now. She's gone from the person who's responsible for it to the hero that we should be thanking in a matter of months. Let's have Randy Weingarten, head of one of the biggest teachers unions in America. This is Cut 8.
Our kids are in crisis. And we had a mental health crisis before COVID, but with, and Dr. Eng will talk about this far better than I do, but within, but for 2 years of disruption, 2 years of looking at the screens, 2 years of not having a normal kind of routine and rhythm, recovery is really tough.
Are you trying to work up to an I'm sorry? Because it doesn't seem like you're getting there too quick. I mean, now, Jared, I'm not a parent, but I have to imagine if for the last 2 years you saw your kids sitting at the counter, depressed, staring at a screen, and you watched this woman, this hypocrite, this terrible person going on doing interviews with the New York Times, going on CNN, going on MSNBC, talking about the importance of remote learning and how we have to keep this remote until we're sure about the teacher safety. And then someday she turns and does this 180. I cannot even fathom the level of anger that I would feel. It would be all encompassing. I would be furious that this hypocrite is now, you know what I would feel like, Jared? I would feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
She's got that little voice too. Oh, 2 years of not having a normal routine and rhythm. Recovery is really tough. You're telling us. You're the one who was forcing this on everyone month after month after month. You thought it was such a great idea for so long. I'm telling you, it's people like Randy Weingarten that are mobilizing parents to get out there and vote and run for office and run for school board committee. So congratulations, Randy. I don't think you're accomplishing your goal, but you're accomplishing something.
But the children love the books.
But the children love the remote learning until there's a mental health crisis. God, she's insufferable. And she really thinks people are buying this. You know what she does, Jared, which is a real telltale sign for a moon bet? When they can't live in the real world anymore, what they do is they'll put their replies to only people who follow them. Like if I go to Randy Weingarten's Twitter, it says Randy will accept replies from only people who are mentioned in this tweet because she doesn't want the free speechers coming after her.
Do I make you Randy?
She doesn't want the Musk minions coming after her, poking holes in her flawless arguments. So that's Randy Weingarten talking about how the kids are in crisis. Isn't that good to know? Thanks for the update, Randy. Pete, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Pete.
Hi, good afternoon, Grace. She's one of many in power with the teachers union, with the enforcement of the teachers union, to put these kids in crisis. And meanwhile, the teachers and a lot of the public schools across this whole entire nation, Grace, got an extended vacation. We'll call it a recess.
I don't disagree. And I always say this because if you go on this topic, then you get people calling up saying, I'm a teacher and I know there's great teachers out there. No one is denying that. But I think the great teachers have to stand up against these other teachers who were totally fine with a 2-year pause because the kids that got lost through the cracks are never going to recover from this. I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, I read an excellent piece and I'll try to find it for people. It was in Barry Weiss's Substack. It was written by someone else. But I think it was about a young student in Chicago and how he went from being this energetic, curious student to this young man who was just in a dark room all day watching television, not logging onto the computer. And a lot of times it's the kids who are already behind who have now fallen behind to a point where, forget recovery, it's going to be impossible for them to make up. And it's the fault of people like Randy Weingarten, no matter what she might say. And it's really despicable. I don't think there's any question about that. But she has no problem going on there and pretending. And I like the people who were retweeting this said, the hostage taker becomes the rescuer. Yeah, and Biden does the same thing. You know, he says, oh, I always make this comparison or this analogy, and at first I thought it was, you know, kind of basic, but I do think it works. Someone comes into your house, throws a hammer at your TV and goes, I'm going to fix your TV for you. And you're kind of like, well, it would have been great if you just didn't throw the hammer at the screen. That would have been the first move that I would have appreciated. But no. And by the way, while some people are worried about, oh, my kid's not learning math, my kid's being taught that this country is founded on racism, my kid is being taught that because they're white, they're the oppressor, or because they're black, they're oppressed, other parents are worried about something else. They're worried about Roe versus Wade and how that's going to affect their toddlers. And by the way, this is while some toddlers are still masked up. You know, Eric Adams thinks it's important that all toddlers keep their masks on. Meanwhile, some parents are so riled up about this issue of the leaked Supreme Court document that this is what's weighing on their mind. Cut 4, please, Jared.
Outside at the steps of the court, it felt like the deed had already been done.
She might grow up in a country without the choice.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
It's horrible. It's so depressing. It's shocking. I can't believe it. And it makes me want to move to a different country.
Go.
That's on the anchor, whoever that was. That Lester Holt? That sounded like Lester Holt.
It did sound like Lester Holt.
But it's ABC, so it wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
She might grow up in a country without the choice.
I don't want to. That might have been Tom Yamas. It kind of sounded like him, but.
Yeah, so everyone has different priorities. Everyone has different things that are weighing on them. For example, this mom on CNN is worried about something else. Cut 9, please, Jared.
It's been scary to like walk down the aisles and see empty shelves and honestly not be able to find the exact formula that we need. We have been trying different off brands, store brands, things like that. And some of them he's tolerating okay, and some of them he's not. But really, it's just been overwhelming and scary.
Empty shelves. That mom's looking for a formula and she's just finding empty shelves. Sounds like she's watching a lot of B-roll from the newsrooms, because I haven't seen any of those.
You gotta stop watching the Fox News, Jack.
Someone get Nina Jankowicz at CNN. She needs to clear this up stat. This is an emergency. By the way, one last thing, because I wanted to report on this. Did anyone see that Dave Chappelle was attacked on stage during his performance at the Hollywood Bowl. I guess it was part of this Netflix is a joke festival. And he was attacked by a man who was armed with a replica gun and that could eject a knife blade when discharged correctly. It was unclear if he made an attempt to use the weapon, according to NBC News. He was attacked on Tuesday night after a man ran up and tackled him during a performance, and the audience was stunned. I guess they said we all stood there kind of frozen. She said Chappelle later continued the show joking about the altercation. It was a trans man, he remarked, according to the Hollywood Reporter. Canceled again. How many times can we cancel this guy? You know what we need to do, Jared? We need to get together with the Clintons, the Obamas, and George Soros and write an open letter. Because that's the only way I can see us officially canceling Dave Chappelle. Clearly none of this is working. He's not getting the message. By the way, Chris Rock, I guess, also came onto the stage after the attack and joked about the suspect. He said, maybe being Will Smith. You know, they were like, is that Will Smith? So at least they got some good material out of it. But violence is never the answer. John, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. The data was in very early about the damage that the shutdowns were doing, not only to children, especially to children, but also to families and businesses and everybody, how incredibly damaging it was in so many different ways. And we were out there screaming from the rooftops and we were ignored that, oh, it's the science. We have to do what we have to do. But this is the kind of thing, you know, they come back and they pretend that they didn't have anything to do with it. When they're confronted with the immigration crisis now, which they have been since Biden's been in office, now they just simply say, the immigration system is broken. We've been trying to fix it in this country for years, as if they didn't contribute to the crisis that's going on now.
Yeah, in fact, for a long time, these news outlets weren't letting their reporters even classify it as a crisis because that was putting too much, you know, that was adding too much reality to the situation. But what I find interesting, John, is that Biden goes into total denial. Jen Psaki goes into total denial. All these people go into total denial about whatever issue they caused until they think they can blame it on someone else. Till it gets to a point where they can't ignore it anymore. Like when moms are looking for formula on the shelves and they can't blame it on B-roll. They can't blame it on, you know, the mainstream media being mean to Joe Biden. Then what do? And they go, oh, you know what? We'll blame it on Putin. Oh, you know what? We'll blame it on Big Formula. That's who we'll blame it on. Big Formula is gouging the mothers of America. And it's like, it can't be both things. It either doesn't exist and everything's wonderful and we cannot digest the enzyme of how happy and lovely this life is under Joe Biden, or it's someone else's fault. But it can't be both. It can't be Putin's fault that the price of gas is high, but also the price of gas isn't high and everything's hunkadory. The two things cannot exist at the same time. 844-500-4242. Speaking of gas, thank you for the call, John. It's time to announce today's $50 gas money winner. If you win this, all you have to do is go to, you'll be looking for an email from store@howiecarshow.com. If you want to win this, go to gracecurlyshow.com. Just enter your email. You could win $50 for gas from Howie or myself. And today's winner is Linda from Dover, New Hampshire.
You won! You did it!
Congratulations, Linda. Yeah, I don't know how long any of this stuff is really going to work for the Democrats. The blame game it's getting tiring. I don't think people are going for it anymore. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Freedom Model for Addictions program. Gain total freedom from addiction and educate yourself on what you need to do in order to break the habits that are affecting your personal relationships, work, productivity, and health. Go to freedommodel.org and use code GRACE to save $50. That's freedommodel.org. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think the SCOTUS leak will save the Dems in the midterm?
No, you know, it's definitely a life vest, but I don't think it's enough. I think they need more.
Things are shifting a little now. Only 89% believe no, while 11% believe yes.
All right, we will be back with the captain. He is back in studio, so don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Today's car crossover is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth, the house of value. I leased my RAV4 from there, and I really enjoyed the process, the experience of leasing it. They made it simple and easy and explained the process in a way I could understand every step. Everyone there is very kind and very helpful. Shop online at toyotaofportsmouth.com. Joining me now is Howie Carr. And Howie, before we've labeled you as deplorable, as irredeemable, as a MAGA supporter, but I have a new one for you. Are you ready for this?
What's that?
You are an ultra MAGA supporter, according to our president.
Ultra?
Ultra. How do you like that?
Like Michelob Ultra?
Yes, yes. And don't say anything about Michelob, because I know you don't like, I know you're a beer snob.
No-calorie MAGA.
All right, Howie, this is your first day back in Massachusetts.
I think Antifa people are the ones who drink Michelob Ultra, aren't they, to work on their little beer bellies?
I don't mind a Michelob, a Chickalobe every once in a while. It's nice.
Well, that's what I mean, Chickalobe.
Yeah, Chickalobe. It's nice for your girlish figure. Howie, give us an update on what it's like being back in Massachusetts. You were greeted today by the warm sun. How does it feel?
It's like I always say, you know, I'm down in a Technicolor Esther Williams movie from the 1960s, and, you know, everyone's cavorting in a pool, and there are all these tropical flowers. And then you get on the plane, and 3 hours later, you're in a RKO film noir from the 1940s. And Robert Mitchum is coming by in a Borsellino hat, and Thomas Gomez is right behind him, and Edward G. Robinson. It's really culture shock.
Well, we're happy to have you back, if that makes any difference.
Well, should I lie and say I'm happy to be back?
No,
I'd just as soon have spent another couple of weeks down there.
If you lied and said you were happy to be back, we'd have to bring in Nina Jankowicz, and she'd have to sing a little bit of her Mary Poppins TikTok to you, because we don't deal with disinformation on the Grace Curley Show.
Yeah, and Mayorkas doesn't even understand it, does he? He doesn't even understand when the... He doesn't detect the needle.
No, he doesn't. But I don't think he detects much of anything based off what our border looks like right now.
No, he's and they say in the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man shall lead. He's not only blind, he doesn't even have a white cane or a seeing eye dog.
Yeah, he's completely obtuse to everything. That's why we're still waiting on that investigation to close up about the Haitian migrants being whipped. Howie, what do you make of the 22 Trump-endorsed candidates winning their primaries in Ohio and Indiana last night?
I can't say I'm surprised. I was kind of surprised when he endorsed J.D. Vance in Ohio, because he said such mean things about him, and he didn't really strike me as like a Trump-type guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Georgia, because, you know, he's endorsed Perdue, and Perdue is running behind Kemp even now. I mean, he's closing in a little bit, but, Trump really, really dislikes Kemp. I don't think he disliked Mandel or Dolan or those guys in Ohio. He just decided to go with somebody he thought could win. But he really dislikes Kemp for obvious reasons. And I don't know if he's going to win that one.
Well, we'll be keeping an eye on all of it. Howie's got a great show planned. Like I said, it is his first day back in New England. We will be doing Hate Mail Monday later in his show. We will be back tomorrow for our Friday Junior program. Don't go anywhere. The Captain, live from the Howie Carr Studios, comes up next.